the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show with Blake Matheson and Eric Updike, covering hunting, fishing, and all things outdoors in eastern Montana and western North Dakota.
Yeah, great outdoors.
We'll bring on guests occasionally.
We're ready to learn to get some knowledge.
You can find episodes every other Friday on RadioBaker.com underneath podcasts. The Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.
Check it out!
It's time for another episode of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show, sponsored by Dakota Rifle Company. They can be found in Dickinson or online at dakotarifle.co. I'm your host, Blake Matheson, along with me,
Eric Updike.
And we're rejoined almost a year to the date from the last time. I just checked this out. Almost a year to the date from the last time he was with us, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Warden, Oliver Gulig, along with us. Welcome in, Oliver.
Hello, hello. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming back, man. I sure appreciate you. I appreciate you giving us some credibility, you know. We're just a small show here, just a couple guys that usually were shooting the breeze. Eric's dad just yesterday was giving us some heck, calling us the old, what does he say, the BS?
BS and Badlands.
Yeah, we're just the BS and Badlands show. So long story short, thanks for giving us some credibility. I feel like when we bring someone of your caliber in here, we have something to listen to, you know.
Good.
So thanks.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and it was August 9th you last came in. It feels so far away yet not that long ago at the same time. It's kind of a weird deal thinking that was almost a year to the date, because we're recording this on August 5th to come out this Friday, so a Tuesday night. But hard to believe it's been a full year.
Yeah, it's kind of flown by and dragged in some other parts, but yeah, good to be back.
Do you feel like a changed warden in any sense from the last year, after going through all that slew of hunting seasons? You're a changed man.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I think, you know, you learn new things every year, and you meet new people, and you kind of gain some new experiences. So it's always kind of a learning process that comes with that. But it's definitely fun and exciting to be out there and experience that change.
Nice. And so I'm going to put a bookmark in this. This is our teaser for a little bit later. But you've been out in the old big city of Miles City doing some events lately, doing some outreach things.
Yeah.
And so I think we'll pick your brain about that. But I'm going to put the brakes on talking to Oliver for just a sec. I told Eric that I was going to make you sit through my bragging. So is that all right? I'm not even asking if it's right. Sorry, I'm making you sit through my bragging for a sec, because we haven't talked about this on our episodes yet. And it's something that I've talked about for many episodes, and that's lake trout fishing at Fort Peck. So before we jump into running you through the ringer, Oliver, I just want to say, went up to Fort Peck. That would have been a week ago this last weekend. Got the boat up there for a quick Saturday jaunt, and it was a nice dead wind day, so got out there on a calm water day and found the lake trout. We boated four fish, all over 25-inch fish, and caught them in 120 feet of water. So that was pretty neat to take the old Monarch out there and cruise a good like 3 miles across the lake and go find those lake trout in 120 feet of water. And when we were jigging them, we were using these big old paddle tails. And so you drop into that 120-foot depth to the very bottom, and you kind of tap the bottom and get them a little worked up, get them a little excited. And then you just crank those jigs as fast as you can, and those fish are chasing those jigs like 20 feet off the bottom and then just trucking those paddle tails. So long story short, if you're a lake trout guy like myself and you're into big big fish, that's a fun time to be had at old Fort Peck here in the summer. So just had to brag about that I found success finally at Fort Peck after saying, boy, I can't wait to take my trolling motor up to Fort Peck. I finally did it, and we boated some darn good fish. And not only lake trout, we got into smallmouth too. So there's my bragging out of the way. Sorry you had to sit through my fish bragging there.
But it's always good to hear a fish story.
Yeah. Did you go? Sorry, Eric.
Blake, I'm proud of you before I forget.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. This machine runs on compliments. So yeah, I appreciate it.
We're all proud.
Thanks. Did you go paddle fishing again this year?
I did. Yeah, I spent one day paddle fishing on the catch and release day. My dad came out for a visit, and I was able to hook into one there. So that was fun. That's just a cool experience to get up there and horse one of those things in, which is always fun. But yeah, got out the one day just on the catch and release. So nice. Had a good time though. It was fun.
Get a big one?
Yeah, I think, you know, didn't take it out of the water all the way, but it was, you know, probably around that 30, 35 pound mark or something like that. Nice. So it was fun. It was a ride for sure.
Yeah, that's about what I'd put mine at. I hooked into one on a catch and keep day, and he got hung up on a fallen cottonwood in the water and got off, so I didn't get him to hand, unfortunately. And that was my only day. I only went out for like 2.5 days, basically. Between reels breaking and stuff, I was basically a 2.5-day paddle fisher this year.
Yeah, you had a rough year.
It was rough on gear, man. Now I'm set, I think, for the foreseeable future. I'd knock on wood, I have a hard time seeing that pen reel that I ended up with, ultimately, that pen battle. I have a hard time seeing it not make it through at least another full season. But yeah, since you weren't around, Oliver, yeah, that's what you missed on that thing. I went through, I think, 4 reels. I was trying to go cheap, man. Just trying to get those plastic specials from the store. And not the way to go when you're paddle fishing.
Yeah, buy once, cry once. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good one. And then just go one more from the past for you as a bird man. Did you go out, do some goosing last goose winter, I guess I would say?
Yeah. You know, we had quite a few people out and about this year, so most of it was spent working the goose hunters. I spend some time up in the Miles City area helping those guys out when I can, but got one or two good goose hunts in this year, so it was a fun time, but looking forward to this season. Hopefully get some more opportunity to get out there, but yeah, this year unfortunately mostly work.
So. Oh man, yeah, that'll get you. You know, from last year, one of the things that sticks out from that episode that I always think of when I'm working with my lab, Jeb, I always think about talking about birds. I guess this was afterwards, so sorry, I'm bringing out some, I guess, off of the mic conversation, but I remember you kind of razzed us. You were like, you didn't know we both had labs, and you were like, yeah, I'd like to go bird hunting with somebody, as long as it's not labs you're hunting over. And both Eric and I looked at each other like, oh.
Yeah. You know, I'll say it, I've met some really, really great labs, and I've hunted with some people who have fantastic labs, but without a doubt, I've definitely run into more poor labs or poorly trained labs. Maybe it's not the dog's fault, that could fall on the trainer themselves, but I'm sure you guys have probably got your dogs pretty squared away.
Oh, I appreciate that, but you know, I got to give you credit as well, because I feel like as a lab owner, you know, they definitely are. They get a dinkus star to their names for sure. I feel like no matter how well trained your lab is, I don't blame you at all for putting the labs in the old doofus category. I just think of that fondly sometimes whenever I'm working.
They're definitely hard headed.
Yeah. For sure, and he's got his own characteristics. So
but then once you kind of overcome that in the training, then you really know you're a good dog trainer,
hey,
right? You know?
Yeah,
anyone can train one of those setters or something like that. It takes a true sportsman to train a lab.
Yeah, you gotta have a wealth of patience.
You know, my dog, he's an angel when it's just me and him out there. But you get somebody else out there hunting along with, and it seems like he forgets what he's doing. He's so excited.
Oh, he's got that performance anxiety.
I know. Have to get him broke of that.
Yeah, well, maybe this will be the year. I know you're a later season guy. We were just talking, getting the once the snakes have gone to bed for the year and some cooler temperatures come out for the dogs, we'll see you out there working him hard, I'm sure of it. But back to speaking of Miles City and some things you've been doing there, just because I've been seeing you in the old pictures, they've been getting you in the publications. So that's the only reason I'm not stalking you, I promise. But helping some kids fish recently, that I bet that's fun. That's one of my favorite things to do. You know, I've got a kid, sure, but as someone that wasn't always the biggest fan of kids, one of my favorite things to do with them was to fish with them, because I felt like that was like a good common ground. I didn't have to worry about entertaining them as something that we were both on the same playing field with. I enjoy fishing and I enjoy spreading that knowledge. So anyways, how was what exactly were you doing and how was it for you?
Yeah, so it was a kids fishing day. It's kind of a program that Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, or at least Fish, Wildlife, and Parks assists with. This one was for the Rocks. I believe it's an after-school program in Miles City. And it, you know, they brought out a bunch of kids. We kind of did a whole bunch of different talks. So there was, you know, aquatic invasive species. There's a section on hypothermia. I led the water safety talk, which I also did here in Baker over the summer. Lake, yeah. So, you know, we kind of did all that. And then at the end of the day, each kid got a reel, rod and reel, and we took them out to Spotted Eagle there and got to teach them how to fish, got to show them the ropes and helped them out with that. You know, outreach is kind of one of my favorite things to do. I've been doing a lot of that, helped out at Baker High School, did their job fair, spoke with one of the biologists. We kind of helped out with that and did kind of introduce people to maybe a career with FWP or something like that. And then obviously Baker Water Safety Day, and then did the kids fishing day up in Miles City. So
nice.
Been kind of running around all summer trying to figure out things to do, but yeah, it's good to kind of get out there with the community and, you know, show that I'm not just a guy who checks fishing licenses, right? I know how to fish. I can help people or something like that when the need comes. So
yeah, and I mean, a good time. And it's nice for folks to see out there, because when you're like me, like I've told you before, for whatever reason, whenever you have a game of fish or a game warden rolling up on you to come check your license, you know, makes a guy a little nervous sometimes, even if you're if you know you're by the book. So I think that it's good, especially like for them kids to see you around. And so, you know, when you see them in the wild, maybe it's not as anxiety inducing, you know,
right.
but you know, that does kind of lead me into a question. Do you have, like, because I feel like the last time that I had a license checked, where most of my nerves stemmed from was, it was my first time telling myself, oh, I'm going to go all digital. I had saved a copy to my phone, you know, and I forwent putting the paper copy in my wallet. So what made me nervous was just fumbling around on my phone, finding where I had saved that darn copy. So as a warden yourself, do you have a preference, like, is it just super way easier for you if a guy whips out a paper license, or if you know where it's saved on your phone? Is there really do you have a preference in checking those, or?
I don't have a preference. You know, it's up to you. You obviously have to have it on you and that kind of thing. But for me, you know, if it's easier for you, especially on a boat or, you know, paddle fishing or something like that, you don't want your paper to get wet or anything like that. Picture is fine. What I recommend to people is when they take that picture, hit it, hit the favorites button or something like that, just so it's easier for us. And that way, you know, I'm not standing there for 5 or 10 minutes while you scroll. Say, you know, say I contact you in December or something and you bought your licenses in March, you know, you might have taken a lot of pictures by then, and yeah, you got to scroll all the way down or something like that. The one thing I will say is to people, be careful when you're taking pictures and stuff like that, because what I see sometimes, not too often, but sometimes people, you know, fishing license, you're good. You can just take a picture of it. You're all squared away there. But if you're doing any kind of hunting where you need to validate that tag, a picture doesn't work if you've got paper copies, because, you know, how are you supposed to cut out that notch or validate your tag,
sure,
if you just have a picture of it? So that's kind of my only caveat. But other than that, I mean, picture works. Like I said, recommend hitting it in that favorites or putting it in like a hunting licenses photo album, mm-hmm, or something like that. Just so I don't have to stand there and, you know, kind of make you more nervous or something like that while we're just looking and trying to find your license.
But, yeah.
So would the picture work for upland hunting,
yeah,
license?
Yeah, because you don't have to tag, right, anything individually, tags, yep, or anything like that. So that works. But, you know, deer, elk, antelope, turkey, anything where you have that individual carcass tag from days of old, you know, make sure you got that with you so you can validate it. Or if you got e-tags, you know, make sure they're downloaded before you go out into the field.
Yeah. Well, I guess, and I didn't think about what, and I guess the one other thing that would be a physical thing that I never really thought about is your federal waterfowl stamp. I never really thought about that. I guess there's not really a way to e-download a federal waterfowl stamp. So I guess you should, if you're hunting ducks, maybe you should probably have that.
Yeah, those are good. Make sure you sign them. You got to sign your name across that.
Oh, so, another big one that I think is easily to look over. That's, mm-hmm, a really good point.
Yeah, just make sure you sign your name on that, so that way, you know, it doesn't go to somebody else or something like that. Each individual waterfowler's got to have their own stamp. So make, mm-hmm, sure you sign it when you do purchase them.
And don't forget, we're getting this straight from a good source, folks. If you've already forgot who we're talking to this episode, just a reminder, we're talking to Oliver Gulig. He's a Region 7 game warden here for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And that's something I've also been kind of tossing around today. I've been reading a couple different things. When you're like, let's say you're filling out a job app, not that you're leaving your job. Let's say you were going to fill out a job application or something, somewhere that you got to put what your current job is. Do you say game warden or Fish, Wildlife, and Parks officer?
Game warden.
Okay, good. Yep. I'm making sure I'm correct on,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so it'd be occupation game warden, and then obviously the agency is Fish, Wildlife, and Parks.
Okay,
gotcha. Cool. Makes sense.
So a question I asked before I came here, I asked my little brothers if they had any questions for talking to a game warden this evening, and I thought one of my brothers came up with a solid question that I'm going to fire at you here. I don't think it's too off the wall, but have you, I think this is also something that people forget about game wardens, is that you're an officer of the law. It doesn't necessarily have to be wildlife you're always dealing with. So his question was, have you ever been involved in any like arrests or calls that are non-wildlife related that people wouldn't really expect?
Yeah, so we are sworn peace officers in the state of Montana. I go to the same law enforcement academy that, you know, standard cops, sheriff's deputies, even the livestock investigators, they go to that as well. So we have full duties and powers. It kind of changes, you know, a little bit jurisdictionally. Like, I'm not going to be out there, you know, making my own arrests typically for non-wildlife violations, but in certain cases, we're always there to assist when the call is needed. needed or something like that. Last year, we had a couple incidences at some of our fishing access sites that didn't involve fish and wildlife crimes, but there were people with outstanding warrants and they were arrested. But we were, I was just the backup officer in that scenario.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think it's an easy thing to forget about, that your scope covers a lot more than I think people realize sometimes.
So. Yep. You never know who you'll run into when you're out there in the woods. So.
Yeah. And then just this last question that I'll throw at you that I thought was worthy of asking you was, is there any species in Montana that you think is underutilized as a hunting species or fishing species? Do you think there's anything that people, like, you know, everybody thinks of fly fishing in Montana or maybe kind of dreams about getting that muley out on the plains. Do you think there's anything that's underutilized in our area?
You know, in this area, I think we've got it all pretty well covered. Obviously, antelope's the big one, and elk and mule deer and all that. A personal interest of mine, unfortunately, didn't get to brag about it this summer, but I think the grayling population we have in Montana, you mentioned fly fishing, of course. I think that's one of the cooler fish species that we have, yeah. Along with, you know, in this region, to keep it topical, definitely paddlefish, you know. I think there's a lot of people out there who still go out and do that and that kind of thing, but, you know, I don't think it's quite as utilized maybe as it has been in the past or may continue to be. So I like paddle fishing. I think it's one of the more fun things you can do, and it's a really enjoyable time to get out there and do that.
Yeah, for sure. With that big old gear, not many places out here in the Rocky Mountain states where you can be throwing that big old saltwater gear
right.
and not look like an absolute fool, for sure. But man, so have you, you said you didn't get her done this last summer, but do you just mean in Montana? Have you ever caught a grayling at all?
Nope, never caught one. It's on the bucket list for sure. That and maybe some of the salmon out west as well. So hopefully get some time and maybe do some of that in my off time and figure out a place to go do that.
Yeah, heck yeah. I've only done it. I've only ever caught grayling once. We did it through the ice at a super high alpine lake in Colorado, my wife and I once, and we got into a handful of them through the ice. And that was kind of fun. We were using little Castmaster spoons, really small ones, and you just sit there and jig it and just get it really going, really working that sucker, and those grayling would come in as a bunch and they'd get all excited, and the faster you moved it, the faster they'd eat it, and then they'd go away as a whole wave and then come back. But yeah, maybe that's if you ever got some time, I know it's a really hard time, but if you're ice fishing, it's a fun way to do it. Yeah. So
that does sound fun. So last year we had asked you what your biggest story was for last year, your craziest case that you had, and it was definitely the bear north of town. So what's changed this year? Have you had any better stories to top that one?
Not right off the top of my head. We're kind of, you know, just easing into fall as we get around to it, but you know, looking forward to see what's going to come up this year. No bears yet this year, so we'll see what happens as we get into fall, but I'm sure something can come up anytime.
For sure. What was your number one violation that people were breaking last year for tickets?
Last year we had a lot of turkey hunters out there just, you know, I ran into, so kind of bringing it back to what I was talking about, a lot of turkey hunters with just pictures of their tags. So that's kind of where I came up with this whole, you know, idea. Make sure you've got your tags ready to go and everything like that. Cause we did run into a few of those where they just had a picture of their turkey license and weren't able to validate it.
That's so pretty convenient if a guy wanted to refill a tag. So yeah, don't be doing that.
No.
Oh man. And is there, after going through this last year, do you think it was, would you put it on like a busy, were you busier than you thought you'd be through the hunting season? Were you about kind of what you expect? Or are we kind of a slower area out here where sometimes you might find yourself being like, you know, them bigger areas got like a few more guys to chase, but
yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of people that come to this area during the hunting season. So general season was as hectic as it can be. So, you know, we're looking forward to getting back to that. And it was, I'd say, you know, from what I've learned and what I've talked to from other wardens, you know, that's, we had about what we expected for this last year and probably going to see about the same, if not a little more for this year.
How many calls have you fielded for folks that want you to investigate somebody that they think or that they're sure of is somebody's trespassing? Like, how big of a deal is trespassing in our parts?
Trespassing isn't, you know, I don't want to say it isn't an issue. It always is an issue anywhere where you have public and private lands coming together, especially when you have such a large population of hunters, you know, coming from other parts of either this state or others. So, you know, it's... probably one of our higher violations that we see is probably trespassing. But then again, you know, with the tagging violations, that's always another big issue that we come across as well.
Yeah. What's a guy looking at for a ticket if it's trespassing?
I'd have to check the bond schedule. They actually just updated a few of those numbers, so I'm not too certain on exact numbers, but we could find those numbers if we needed.
Well, hopefully we don't have to find out, right?
Yeah, make sure you know where you stand. Use your Onyx, use your maps, use whatever you can. So.
Yeah, Onyx, big. I've even seen folks putting on like Onyx clinics now where they're trying to teach you to use your Onyx better. I think that was North Dakota's Game and Fish I saw doing that. And
that'd be a good one to go to.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to think. I mean, I guess it's one of those if you can't beat them, join them deals. Like if they're going to have the Onyx, you might as well have them using it right. So I thought that was kind of interesting that it became all the way up to an agency kind of deal where it's a big enough deal that they're putting on classes for that. Onyx, definitely the biggest thing these days for hunting. I have a hard time thinking that very many people, like you have the, right now you could go put in to get the block management packet out when they come. You can register to have it mailed to you. And I have a hard time thinking, I bet the numbers of that over the last, like, I don't know, 5-7 years have really declined how many people order that hard copy of those block management copies. But I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like Onyx has probably really taken the place since it shows all those block managements up to date for the most part.
Still a lot of old timers with flip phones, though.
Maybe I'm underestimating.
Yeah.
It is nice to have that. For me, I don't have enough faith in my phone battery or my service to keep my Onyx saved maps reliable. So I just like to have that old backup hard copy every once in a while.
That's not a bad idea.
And I guess the last thing here, I know I don't have anything pressing about regulations, but just a heads up, just because we were talking about it, mentioned it here, new this year for sage grouse hunters, there's a free permit if you plan on going and finding sage grouse anywhere, or if you ever jump any sage grouse or you happen to be shooting sharptail grouse, just maybe hop on and grab that free sage grouse permit. Help those folks out in knowing how many folks are out there targeting sage grouse, because that's the only new thing that I really had highlighted for today.
Do you get that online then?
Well, I guess it's not really a purchase if it's free, but it can be added at any of the license providers.
Sweet. Okay. Yeah, and again, F-R-E-E, that spells free. So not costing you a dime to go get that sucker tacked on there and keep yourself in the know and covered. So,
you know, the only other question I had for you, there was a guy that was talking to me and Blake a while ago. We were talking about bear hunting in this Region 7. What are the weapons restrictions? I mean, he was trying to tell us you had to use a bow. Is that accurate?
No, we do have a rifle season here in Region 7 for bears.
That's the way I took it, but I figured we'd talk about it.
You got bears on the... Bears a big thing out in this part of the country. Over the last, like, I don't know, the whole time I've been here, I guess I'd say the last 2 years, that's been the hot topic of these parts.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Something unusual, I guess.
You had a bear call lately?
I had one, a bear sighting. I guess it wasn't really a call, but someone called to inform me that there was a bear down south, kind of in the forest country where you expect to be.
Typically meandering around. Oh, man. What about mountain lion? Hear anything about them lately?
No, haven't heard anything recently on mountain lions. You know, they're obviously around and through the country, but haven't had any confirmed sighting, at least relayed directly to me as of recent.
I think that would jazz me up a little bit more than a bear sighting. A mountain lion, that's what I'm waiting on. You told me that story when I first moved here about a mountain lion in somebody's basement in Baker.
Yeah, right by your house.
Yeah, now every time I drive by there, that's all I think about. I'm like, oh, a mountain lion was down in that house once. Mm-hmm. Shooey. Wonder what I'd do in that situation.
Yep, for sure.
What'd you do with a mountain lion in your house, Oliver?
Well, I couldn't call the game warden. I guess I'd have to handle it myself. So.
Shoo, cat, scat, scram. Well, that's all my pressing questions. I didn't really have anything to throw you on the burner about this time around. I think it's been pretty straightforward. I'm glad to hear that there haven't been any crazies you've had to deal with in the last year, at least not that you can talk about. But I'm glad that nothing insane's happened. You've still been able to come back around a year from the last time. Here's a guess for you, just for fun. This is episode 34 of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. Do you have a guess what number episode you were on?
I want to say I believe it was episode 12.
Oh, maybe? You're close. That's fairly. You're closer than Eric was in math, but number 8 you were on, the Ocho. Okay. So now you'll be on number 34, which we greatly appreciate. So.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, for sure. And so, the floor is yours. Is there anything you'd like the general public to know or our whopping... dozens of listeners.
Yeah, well, we mentioned it before we started. We had the Bats and Brews the event they put on there, the non-game people in Miles City put on for kind of some outreach, learn about bats, talk about bats, everything like that. It was some bat trivia. I'm proud to say that I, in fact, was on the winning team.
Oh, let's go!
Didn't contribute much. I have to thank thank my other teammates for that that win. But, you know, hey, if you can't win, don't play, right? So made sure we pulled that one out. But, yeah, that's a good non-game program they've got there, working with the community, doing that kind of thing. And, you know, just I'd say keep an eye on the Region 7 Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Facebook page for any other upcoming fun community events and stuff like that. Community events, we've also got you guys, I think, are both members, as myself as well, for the new Pheasants Forever chapter we opened here. Shameless plug. You know, that's something we've got here in the community of Baker. Looking forward to seeing that grow and being a part of that, which is always fun. So good things to make sure we get out and let people know about.
So. Yeah, that they're still alive and well. Got a meeting. This is coming up tomorrow. So when this episode comes out, unfortunately, you will have missed the most recent Pheasants Forever meeting out there at the Trap Club. But that just means that you need to get your ear on the old social media to keep up with when the next meeting will be, because they'll be at least every month, and they'll stay at the Trap Club.
So. And we have our membership drive on the 13th, I believe, of September. So come out to that. And
go and shoot some trap out there at the Trap Club.
Some trap, have a free will donation lunch. Sounds like a good time to me.
Oh yeah, free will donation lunch. Wasn't that Matt Weber saying he was going to be working the grill for that? Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm probably putting his name out there when I shouldn't. Poor guy. But I think I just recall that he had the tools to do it. So head out there again. Yeah, September 13th. Good shout there, Oliver. Appreciate that. And well, I think that'll do it for this episode, I believe, boys. If anything else?
No, good to go.
All right. Well, this has been episode 34 of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. We're sponsored by Dakota Rifle Company of Dickinson. You can check them out online at dakotarifle.co. If you're in the game of looking for suppressors in the North Dakota area, that's probably your place to do it. That's their kind of go-to thing, helping folks out getting suppressors on their guns. And, hey, thanks again, Oliver, for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
And we'll catch you again. Oh, sorry. Then I'm Blake Matheson along with me.
Eric Upchuck.
Hey, there we go. All right. And we'll catch you again in a couple weeks for episode 35.